Welcome back to Gesundheit with Jacobus, Health Talk Radio. Now your host, Jacobus Hollewein.
And good morning, everybody. Welcome back to that last hour, indeed, of Gesundheit with Jacobus. I thank you for your participation. Dr. Pete Sarkarski is with me in the studio. He is the owner and provider, doctor in osteopathy at East Main Medical Clinic. That is located at 1104 East Main, just up the hill from Lindley Park, on the right-hand side, going east out of town. And he has been there. He's opened the doors in October of 2014. He has worked in urgent care for over 21 years. He came to Bozeman in 2001 and started working at the urgent care over on 10th and Main Street. And until they were taken over by Bozeman Deaconess Hospital, and he decided to go on his own, and he had certain, his own philosophy was what he wanted to do, and he decided to open up a clinic, and it's doing extremely well, and we appreciate all of you in the community who have checked him out and worked with them, and some of you have actually called the program and complimented Dr. Pete for all the service that he has provided to them over the years. All kinds of work is being done over there, all kind of health work, all kinds of exams, physical exams, Department of Transportation exams, wellness exams, sports exams, so the sports physicals, and then if you have, what did you call it, a boo-boo and an owie? Any owies and boo-boos
are
being
that.
Treated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It should be your new logo. Any owies and boo-boos. So, obviously, they do have an EKG machine, so they can check with you if there is something worrisome about the heart. Otherwise, no X-ray machine, but they have connections with either Bridge Orthopedic, or if they feel there is an issue that needs to be addressed by a specialist, then they may recommend you to go see a specialist, and they may have a list of people they recommend, because many people do not know who is the endocrinologist or who is the neurologist or who is the this or the that, and they can help you to be kind of that funnel that sends you in the right direction. But a lot of things every day, even some minor surgeries, are being performed at East Main Medical. And if you have any specific questions, what they can do, you can always call them at 587-3788, 587-3788. They're open 6 days a week, closed on Sundays. Monday through Thursday, they're open from 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening. And on Friday and Saturday, they're open from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. So there's always a staff available to help you with your issues, even today. Dr. Pete is with me in the studio, but his PA, Matt, and Alex is also there, I think, or not?
Correct.
Correct. So they're there to man the ship, and I just have enjoyed already the first 2 hours with him, because we talk about all kinds of stuff that he has done and his own philosophy. He's a doctor in osteopathy. People say, what is that? That is a medical doctor, goes to medical school, all the medical training. He can do his all the privileges and duties of a regular medical doctor, except that he has added the physical manipulation, such as chiropractic care, into his work. So he really understands the body and how it functions better than most medical doctors who have either become a GP or a specialist. They have specialized in understanding the body, the whole anatomy, and how it works and how it all pieces together. So if there is something physically that needs to be adjusted, a doctor in osteopathy could help you with that very well. And I do know there are doctors in osteopathy in the Bozeman Deaconess Health Group, but they're so pushed into, they only have so much time with you. And I have heard that they're sometimes frustrated because they don't have the time to really work with the patients at a level that they feel they need. And I think, Dr. Pete, one of the reasons why you started your clinic is that you said, I need to have that eye-to-eye contact. I need to understand. I want to ask the questions based on what I hear, and so that I can help them, help people. We all have a blind side. And so when you go to the doctor, we already know everything, right? And then
Dr. Google or WebMD.
Yeah, that, but there are certain things we don't see, but I know that you as a physician, by listening to the person and your mind is going through everything in your little computer in your head, what am I hearing this person say that they haven't answered yet? Or what is it? And you may just ask that one question or give that one comment that people say, oh my God, I haven't thought about that. And sometimes that could be the answer, that could be the key to the successful road to healing. And that is something that just impresses me, how people like yourself are able to do that. So like Clint said, your diagnostic is awesome. You know, understanding the body. And Matt is also great. He comes up with all kinds of suggestions, like how about this, how about that. By asking questions, you get a lot of answers. And that is what, when you talk about Medicare, Medicaid, that you don't work with that because the electronic data system that you have to do. You don't want to walk in an office and just look at computers and type everything in computers, which I've seen visiting the hospital. Literally, the nurses walk in and they clean their hands and then they walk up to their computer. They don't even admire. They have the time to barely acknowledge that you're laying in bed, and they just go on that computer and do whatever they need to do and turn it on, turn it off, whatever. And it almost seems the contact is gone. Sometimes just ask a question. How are you feeling?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's the way I want to practice medicine. I don't want to deal with a computer in that direct patient to doctor interaction.
Yeah.
I just don't think it adds anything, especially in the, you know, walk-in or
in the setting that you have. Yes.
And just to, you know, yes, I am a DO. I don't do too much hands-on manipulation. Certainly when we go through school, you know, we have to practice it a lot. I can do some, but I think the one thing that you'll find with osteopaths are we're not afraid to put our hands on you and use touch and manipulation, as well as, you know, palpating tissues. We're just more in tune to using our hands in a diagnostic you know, approach and setting.
Correct. Because if you understand the body that good and you have felt the body, you know that if you hear people explain about a pain, you know where to put your fingers and hands and say, yeah, okay, this is what I feel. And that is often missing. We need the personal contact, but we also need somebody who says, oh, I feel exactly what you're saying. There is a swelling. I feel it's warm. It's definitely inflamed. You know, it helps in creating a diagnosis. It helps in getting a more clear picture of the individual. And again, people will tell you what they feel. And that
Well, and I think people like to have that, you know, hands-on personal touch. And we work with some, you know, both pre-med students, medical students, and residents.
Okay.
Sometimes. And, you know, I'll tell them, put your hands on the patient. Don't be afraid to touch him. You know, holding onto your stethoscope and touching the patient with your stethoscope is not the same as actual hands-on.
Yeah.
When you come up to a patient, don't be afraid to, you know, put your hand on their shoulder and, you know, talk to them and to let them know that, you know, you're engaged into their problem.
The one-on-one contact. Yeah, I agree. It's, we were talking before, people like that personal contact in both verbally and also physically and emotional contact. And so many people are buying over the internet today, but I still see that people enjoy that one-on-one contact, walking in the store, touching the product, communicating, asking questions to somebody who works there. I cannot control people walking into my store and just asking away and then walking out and then buying it on Amazon. I can't control that. But I have seen over the years that there has been great support for what we do at our store, because there is this need and desire and appreciation for having, looking you in the eye and just communicating and just be able to ask questions, how silly you think they are. No question is silly. It is just that if you don't know the answer, everything is a good question, right?
Well, whether it's, you know, doctor-patient interaction or retail setting, it's customer service.
Customer service.
treat people like you want to be treated.
Yeah. That's true. So we were talking before the break about the influx in seemingly chronic diseases. And you and I had a little bit of a talk yesterday in your office, and yesterday, I think.
I don't know. My memory. Do you have anything that can help with memory down at your store?
We do. question. Does the doctor do annual exams for either men or women?
Yes. In regards to female exams, we tend not to do pelvic exams there. I'm not set up to do pap smears. I mean, most women have an OBGYN that they follow up. But yeah, we can do annual exams on women devoid of, you know, the pelvics down there. Certainly order a mammogram if you need it, a colonoscopy if you're
really?
Of that age.
You do colonoscopies?
I don't do them, but I can order them. Okay. That's all done up at the hospital. And you know, any blood work you might need based on your age.
Okay, but then run this through me. You don't do pelvic exam pap smears. You're
well,
not set
in,
up for
in,
it. But
in,
what
in
what
an
is,
acute setting, if somebody's coming in with the possibility of a sexually transmitted illness, we can do a pelvic there. But part of a wellness exam for a lot of women is to do a pap smear.
Correct.
I don't have that.
You need the lab
equipment
with it. Yes.
Well, and it's still a send out, but. Again, that's more primary care.
Okay.
I'm not a primary care physician.
You're not a primary care physician. How about then men and actual exam of annual exam? What are something like that if people want to do a wellness exam? So you do blood pressure, you check their vision, you check their throat, you check their skin.
It's a head-to-toe physical.
Head-to-toe, yeah. But that to me sounds very, very
generic.
Thin. Yes.
All right. Well, I mean, we're looking for any disease processes from the top of your head down to your toes. You know, yeah, we're going to.
How many are you checking the skin? Are you looking
absolutely.
For skin tags? Are you looking, I mean,
skin
people
cancer?
Undress?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So you look for all that. Do you, I don't know, head to toe. I mean, what does that to do on the toes?
Well, you know, let's just start, you know, how's your vision?
Okay.
You know, we're looking at the eyes. We're looking in the nose. We're looking in the mouth.
Okay.
Sure. You know, teeth are in good repair. Make sure there's no oral cancers. We're looking in your ears.
Really?
I mean, I can't tell you how many ears I end up cleaning out of cerumen impaction.
Yeah.
I mean,
so what?
And
what impaction?
Wax.
Oh, wax.
Wax in the ear.
How would you call that?
Cerumen.
Cerumen
yeah.
impaction. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
All right. Here's a great story. So I'm working at an urgent care in Ohio after my residency, and this woman, well, probably in her 50s, brings her 80-year-old mother in for a cold.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I walk into the room and, you know, the little old lady sitting up on the exam
table
and I basically introduce myself and the daughter over in the chair says, you have to yell because mom's deaf. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so I'm yelling, hi, I'm Dr. Sikorsky and all this. And so I start examining her. Well, I mean, the first thing I look in is her ears full of wax.
Oh,
I spent probably a half hour cleaning her ears out and, you know, she can hear again. And she'd been like this for, I don't know, I think 3 or 4 years, and
no
they just
way.
Assumed that,
she was deaf.
Well, mom's getting old, and, you know, she's lost her hearing.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, she didn't doctor much, and, you know, they're sitting there crying afterwards. You would have thought I, you know, cured blindness or something. It was great. A simple thing like that. But, you know, I mean, how many times do I see patients here in town that, you know, well, I just went to my doctor 2 weeks ago, and, you know, I'm not any better. Well, I look in their ears and I can't even see their eardrum. And I'm like, well, how come you didn't get your ears cleaned out? Well, the doctor never, you know, said anything. Simple fix. 5 minutes, get the ears cleaned out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a little aside. I don't even know why I brought it up. Okay. Oh yeah. Part of our physical.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, so now we're going
throat.
On down.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you know, looking in the throat, checking out the neck for swollen lymph nodes or abnormal lymph nodes that might, you know, be a sign of cancer. Lymphoma.
Okay.
Looking at the thyroid, listening to the lungs, the heart.
How do you look at the thyroid? You feel it.
Palpate. Well, you can both look to see if there's any swelling or a mass. Palpate.
Goiter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or an abnormal thyroid, you know, mass. It could be a tumor growing.
Okay.
You know, listening.
Do people already complain then about sore throat or that their voice is hoarse or something like that? That you say, I better check that thyroid.
Well, I mean, you know, you know, again, part of a normal exam is just to check everything out. I mean, you got
to listen.
Yeah, you got to be. You know, it's a comprehensive physical. So yeah. you're but, looking I mean, at it, all.
Means you do it all the time, but yeah. I don't know what it entails, so I'm asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, then we're the neck.
Well, we're just heading on down from the neck. I mean, we're the
shoulders. Are we doing anything lifting arms and joint and checking all that?
I do a musculoskeletal exam as a whole at the end. But, I mean, heart, lungs, abdomen, feeling for abnormal masses, you know, making sure the liver's not enlarged.
By the way, how loud is that stethoscope that you, I mean, really, you hear that good? Is that really like ka-dung, ka-dung, ka-dung? Is that what you hear? I don't know. I've never listened to one of them. I'm not a doctor. They never gave me one of those.
Well, the next time you're in, I'll let you listen. Yeah, we can
clean my ears
good.
First.
Exactly.
No, well, seriously. So you hear the lungs. You looked at in the back, right? You listen to the lungs. And what are you listening for in lungs? Is it what does it sound like? Like a regular wind? Or is it like a
clear breath sounds? You know, I'm so
if it is if not somebody good to
comes
hear,
in,
like,
if somebody comes in with pneumonia, we listen for what are called mnemonic sounds, crackles.
Crackles.
If you were to take some of your hair and rub it between your fingers in front of your ear opening, that's kind of what we listen for with signs of pneumonia.
Okay.
There are other exams that you can do, E to A changes. You know, you have them say the letter E, and it might sound like A, and you compare side by side. So there's things that we can listen for coupled with the patient's exam history or their history, chief complaint, that we can say, you know what, you probably have pneumonia. I mean, you're running a fever, you're coughing up this, we listen to your lungs. Sometimes we might get a chest x-ray to confirm it, maybe even a CBC, but a lot of times, and especially with nowadays, as good as the oral antibiotics are, you know, we don't have to get the chest x-ray right off the bat, so we can keep the cost down.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mean, getting back to the examination.
That was really interesting. I mean, this is stuff that I know, but I don't know what it sounds like. I don't know exactly what it entails. So that's why I'm asking. I'm simply curious. I'm not, it's not a trick question.
We're not going to divulge all our secrets here.
But it is interesting because I don't know what I know. Well, you listen to the heart. So what exactly? So yesterday I had somebody in and they said, the left ventricle is sounding great, but the right ventricle is skipping something. How do you hear that? How do you know it's left or right? What do you hear? Is there a clicking noise? Is there a silence? And then, boom, there is something. What do you hear in the heart that is different?
This is one of your customers who are telling you that that's what they
diagnosed
heard?
That. Yeah, that's what they diagnosed that.
Well, when you listen to a heart sound.
Yeah.
Via the stethoscope, sure, you're listening for the opening and closing of the valves that you hear as the lub dub.
Okay,
you know, but you're also listening for flow murmurs, signs of turbulent blood flow that are coming across the valves that could mean or mean underlying valvular disease. Huh. You're listening for irregularity in the heartbeat. Is it is it a nice evenly spaced heartbeat with regularity as well as in a normal rate, or is it skipping all over the place?
Okay.
Is it, we call it irregularly irregular when somebody has atrial fibrillation. You know, are they having just occasional skip beats that could be a premature atrial contraction or a premature ventricular contraction, which all can be a sign of underlying heart disease. A lot of times it doesn't mean that there's anything significantly wrong. Some people just have occasional PVCs or PACs. You don't have to do anything about them. But, you know, it's just part of that whole screening process that we use during a physical to assess, hey, is there something more going on here? You know, do we need to run some extra tests here? Do we need to get an echo on your heart? Do we need to get a stress EKG? Or do you need to go see a cardiologist?
Yes. Huh, okay. So you literally hear that. So when the blood is not flowing correctly, you can almost hear the blood itself making a noise. Otherwise, it would be more a rhythm. But if there is something not working with the blood, then you hear a curdling sound, or do you hear a rattling sound? Or
so if one of your valves aren't functioning right, you know, you could hear abnormal valve opening or closure click or sound.
Wow.
Or if you have the valve isn't functioning right, or you've got some type of growth or something on the valve or the leaflet or a big area of plaque buildup, it causes turbulence in the flow. I mean, think of blood flow through your heart and your arteries like water flowing through a pipe.
Yes.
If that pipe is nice and round and wide open, you really don't hear the flow of the liquid through the pipe.
Yeah, it's a consistent
sound.
But
if there's something in there, it's going to cause an eddying or turbulence in that flow.
Okay.
And we can hear that with our stethoscope.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we listen for.
That's very interesting. Yeah, because I don't know what they're doing. I just assume. But it is literally, I think the listeners enjoy this too, because they, you go to the doctor to listen to you and they said, everything is fine. Okay, well, I don't feel fine. So why do you tell me my heart is good? Or I've been coughing. Why do you tell me my lungs sound normal? People want to understand, what are you listening for? It's interesting. So, okay, so then we go, keep going south.
We keep going south. I think
stomach. What do you do with the stomach?
Well, we palpate, listen, normal bowel sounds. You can typically hear the stomach gurgling as well as the intestines.
Okay.
I mean, normally
so people again, have stethoscope.
Yeah, you do it with the stethoscope. Wow. I mean, most of the time you can hear their stomach when you're listening to their lungs. You can hear bowel sounds even coming through as we're listening to the lungs.
Huh.
I mean, your stomach growls when you're sitting here on your radio show.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can hear it.
No, sure.
So obviously, you don't need a stethoscope to hear bowel sounds coming out of your abdomen.
So if somebody is overweight, does it make it hard to hear the heart or the lungs? Or
It can. Yeah. I mean, you're listening through, it could be anywhere from 2 inches of subcutaneous fat, and the sounds are more distant, and you have to, and plus, trying to place, when somebody's morbidly obese, trying to find the normal landmarks where you would listen becomes a little bit different.
Correct. These
things are sagging. I mean, there's a little bit of an anatomical shift from the outside, so it makes it more difficult. So, you need a quieter room. You might have to position the patient differently to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So, where were we?
Can we continue with that in the next break? Not in the break, but after the break.
Absolutely. We're just getting down to the good part, right?
Yeah, that's true. My goodness. Yeah, so I appreciate this because I just don't know what a physical exam really entails. Some people say they just take your blood pressure, they take your blood, and they look at you and they say everything looks fine. Well, if you don't feel fine, that is a horrible exam, in my opinion, for a lot of money, and you had to sit in the waiting room for a while. So anyway, I appreciate that. Let's see here what we have coming up. Stay tuned, folks. Dr. Pete Sarkowski and myself will be back for one more half hour.
Keeping a finger on the pulse of health research. This is Gesundheit with Jacobus, every Saturday morning from 8 to 11.